Just going to read from Matthew's Gospel, which is what we're thinking about this morning. And this is from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 to 20. I'm just going to read to you. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. For the word of the Lord, thanks be to God. So let's try and illustrate that gospel reading with a little drama. Today, I'm Jesus. So who does people say that the Son of Man is? Which of my disciples are going to come forward? Who have we got this morning? So, I've heard John the Baptist. Who else do people say that I am? What are people saying here? Some people are saying I'm Elijah. Who else have we got? Some people are even saying that I'm Jeremiah. But you lot don't look miserable enough yet. And who else do people say that I am? Just about any of the well-known prophets. So the disciples then perhaps are chatting amongst themselves. We can't hear what they're saying. The names of a few random prophets might be coming up, as well as the ones we've heard. Maybe there's Ezekiel, maybe there's Elisha, maybe there's Zechariah. But I'm still asking you again, who do you say that I am? Enter Simon Peter, pushing the other disciples out of the way. Because once again, he knows what he's all about. And what have you got to say?
You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God.
And you are blessed, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And from now on, you are Peter the Rock. And your declaration is the rock on which I'm going to build my church. Even the people at the gates of hell over there won't be stronger than you. I'm going to give you the keys of heaven. And what you say that should be kept in check will be kept in check. And what you say should be set free will be set free. But you must not tell anyone that I'm the Messiah yet. So two different, slightly different tellings of that story. We're all used to, I think, to probably hearing that gospel. Jesus tells Simon Peter that he's going to be the rock on which the church is going to be built. But sometimes it seems as though the world has got the church all wrong. Christians are often accused of being quite pious fools. Sometimes we think as Christians it's not our job to get stuck into the troubles of the world, but instead we've got to sit back and we've got to wait for God to do something. But this week's gospel reading just shows how wrong those Christians would be if there really are any who refuse to get stuck in. On the one hand, those different disciples are told that Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Son of the living God. And so, therefore, they are invested with something of God's power. But on the other hand, these disciples down here are not to make any great claims as followers of divine leader. But instead, under Peter's leadership, the disciples have got to gather together and support each other. Peter and the others are going to be responsible for doing this, because from now on there are going to be no more signs, no more wonders. Those to whom insight has been given by God's grace have just realized exactly who Jesus is. And the rest of humanity, us lot, we've all got to be convinced by human means. We've got to be convinced by the moral choices that Jesus' followers make in the strength of their convictions. But then if we're thinking about people's convictions, we might think back perhaps to last year, when certain churches, and in fact certain church leaders, were accused of the opposite. They weren't accused of being inactive, but they were accused of being too courageous, being too active in political debate. Some church leaders were accused of taking issue with what they saw as dishonesty, self-indulgence, callousness, or greed among those in positions of power and authority. In the Church of England, several of our bishops and archbishops have seats in the House of Lords, and so they take a part in the debates that go on in that level of Parliament. And the Archbishop of Canterbury, in particular, was really outspoken last year about the threat to send would-be asylum seekers to Rwanda. And he was prepared to stand up and really take issue over what was going on. And the debate involves around, should that scheme even have been allowed? Was there a great sense of integrity going on amongst the political leaders who were making those kinds of decisions? Should the government perhaps have been more active in providing support to those who are really struggling? Did we play the right role in the conflict of Ukraine, particularly in response to handling the many refugees who came to this country? There are people with all sorts of different political views, and they'll offer really different answers to particular questions. But the point is, in the light of today's Bible passage, it's hard to say that religious leaders shouldn't exercise their right to raise such issues. And I think those issues are ones that we should also be concerned about as well, not just leaving it up to our religious leaders, but actually taking time to think and to pray through. We'll each have a different kind of encounter with Jesus. Maybe we're not going to be told so much that we are the rock on which the church is going to be built, but we are told instead that we are part of the church. Wherever people gather together in the name of Jesus, that's where the church is. And the church continues to be built, and in the face of seeming adversity, the church continues to be made known. And it's our part in all this to make the name of Jesus known through our morals, through our actions, and through our lives. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.